Before we start, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for, Lord, your word that you have given to us. And now, Lord, you have a word for us. And so, Lord, we want to hear it. And we want to respond to, Lord, what you're doing and where you're leading us. We thank you. And so we just pray that, Lord, we'll be able to take this word, Lord, apply it to our lives, and, Lord, just bless our church, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 says, "For freedom Christ has set us free." Can you say that with me again? "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no value or advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You are running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Amen. You may be seated. A few years ago, back in 1996, I took my first missions trip to Jamaica. And, you know, I'd been in the Navy, and I'd been traveled all over the world in the Navy, but I had never had to go through customs, you know, because we were always on a ship. But we landed in Jamaica, and we go to go through customs, and there, as we go through the lines, I don't know if you've ever been to Jamaica, but as you go through the line, there stands a police officer with a AKA 47, right? And, you know, if that's not intimidating, I don't know what is. But you're walking through that line, and you go through that line, they check all your stuff, and everything's good, then you're on your way. You know, we spent a whole week there building a church, and it was amazing to me that when we would travel, you see, in the States, we have the freedom here to travel wherever we want to. We can get in the car like Pastor Mark and Debbie did this morning, and they're driving to Asheville, North Carolina, to be in the mountains. But in a third world country or a country like Jamaica, they'll have robots set up, and these officers will be standing there with these AK-47s, and they're checking your paperwork. You know, when we travel here in the States, all we got to have is a credit card to pay for the gas, right? But in Jamaica, you got to have all your papers if you're traveling, and it's just an island from one end to the other. And I can remember there, the missionary that was there had problems with the carburetor on his van. And the only way that we were going to be able to fix it was for me to take that carburetor off and bring it back to the States with me. And I would repair it and then send it back to him. And so the last day that we were there, after we'd finished the church, we left, and I went with the missionary to the van to take the carburetor off. And on the way, we came to one of those checkpoints where these police officers were there with their AKA-47s checking paperwork. And I'm like, I told the missionary, I says, my passport is back in my luggage at the hotel. You know, and he said, well, we're just going through, so we'll go get the carburetor and then we'll come back. And when you come back through, just make eye contact with them. And most of the time, they'll just wave you on through. And so I said, okay. So we go and we get the carburetor and we come back and we're going through this checkpoint. And I'm in the passenger seat of the van and I got my eyes glued to that window, looking at that officer as we go by, and he waves us on by, and I'm thinking, thanking you, Jesus, thanking you, Jesus. But the cool thing was, is that when we left there and we came back to the States, we walked through the checkpoint, we got off the plane, we come to the checkpoint to go through customs, and the guard that was there, he said, welcome home, you know. And that was a good feeling because you knew you were home. And that's freedom, you know. And, you know, Webster's Dictionary or the Google, I Googled it, freedom, and they said the freedom means you have the freedom to say, speak, do whatever you want to do without any repercussions. Huh. But the freedom that Paul is talking about here is a little bit different. Because the Greek word for freedom means to be free. Okay? In the Roman world, remember the Apostle Paul, he kind of defends his freedom because when he was beaten, he said to them, why are you beating a Roman citizen? I was born a Roman citizen. Now, you could be born a Roman citizen, and you could be purchased or gain your freedom, become a freed man in Rome, according to Roman law. But being a freed man was different from being born free. Different rights. A free man did not have the same rights as a person in Roman law, according to a person who was born free, a Roman citizen. And so the Apostle Paul here addresses this issue. The freedom that we have in Christ, it identifies our position of who we are in Christ. Apart from Christ, we are nothing. But it says here in the very first verse, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Then we are free. The Apostle Paul is addressing the Galatians here. This is the only epistle that the Apostle Paul has written that addresses a group of churches. The others address individual churches. The church of Ephesus, the church of Philippi, the church of Colossae. This was an epistle to the church of Galatia, the region of Galatia. And he's addressing an issue, a very difficult issue. There was a group of Jews that had been converted to Christians, and they were traveling around and they were saying that Gentiles, and this was a Gentile region, that Gentiles could become saved, but they would have to adhere to the Jewish or the circumcision law of Moses, which stated they had to be circumcised. They could receive salvation if they did that. It was based on the law which stated that you had to work for it. It's something you did to work for it. Grace says this. We are blessed. We are blessed. We work because we are blessed. Not because we are blessed, because we work. You get it? There's a difference. And so the Apostle Paul, these Judaizers were saying that in order for them to be true Gentiles, they would have to become circumcised. Then they could receive salvation. This disturbed the Apostle Paul. And not only did they say, were they saying that, but they were saying that in the first chapter of the book of Galatians, they're saying that Paul really wasn't a true apostle. That he came afterwards. Well, what was the definition of a true apostle? The definition of a true apostle was the fact that they had spent time under the ministry of Jesus Christ. Did the Apostle Paul fit that description? He certainly did. He had an encounter with Jesus. He went away for a period. It states in Galatians that he went away for a period of about 3 years. And who do you think he was setting under? He was setting under Jesus' teaching for about 3 years. Then he went back to the apostles. And he began to preach. Okay, this was a man who was totally out to destroy the Christians. He was a Jew. But he understood, you know, they were saying here, who was called? Who was called to be free? You see, we have to understand that our righteousness, we can do nothing on our own. The Bible says that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Wages is something we earn, isn't it? Death is separation. And here it refers to a separation, a spiritual separation. Apart from Jesus, you are spiritually dead. Circumcision has no value. What you do for God has no value apart from Christ. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ has what? He has reconciled us to the Father. So by faith in Jesus Christ, we are free. We as believers are free. Free from what? We are free from sin. It has no more control over us. Ephesians 2:10 says this, We are His workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Apart from Christ, we can do no good. No matter how much good we try to do. In Sunday school, we were talking about Cornelius this morning. How that Cornelius was a righteous man, and he prayed, and he sought God. And it says that God heard his prayer. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 that no one does good. That none of us seek God. You see, God takes initiative to seek us. It's God who initiates this love relationship with us. Because we don't have it in us. We're all sinners. But it says, in Christ, we are created to do good works. You see, we have the power, we have the ability to say no to the flesh. And the end of chapter 5 in Galatians, it talks about what the results of the flesh are. But it also talks about the positives. The positive is the fruit of the Spirit. You see, the power of the flesh as a believer has no power over us any longer. Christ has purchased that victory. That's why it says, in Christ, we have been set free. There's a song by the Newsboys that says that we have been set free. Free from sin. We have freedom in our finances. We have freedom in our marriages. We have freedom in our work. Amen. And it says, freedom calls its citizens to look for opportunities. In other words, we're not supposed to be sitting here wondering what to do or what good thing could we... You know, God is active. God is working everywhere. God is working over here at Hermitage Elementary School. God is working in Communities Outreach Ministries at the Mayfair Apartments. He is working there. He is going to use His people to join Him in that activity. And that does not mean for us to sit here and enjoy our little warm little fuzzy fellowship. It's great to have fellowship. But we are called to look for those opportunities, not the opportunities to satisfy our flesh. But we're to look for opportunities to serve our Lord. We're to look for opportunities to become involved and active in His work. And number B is those opportunities to influence our community. We are influencing our community. It may be Heritage Elementary. There's a man that lives over here off of Tulip that works in the shipyard. And we have these, we have a mechanical room in our office at the shipyard, and it's steam lines running through there. It's got a big old valve on it. And this man over here checks that valve every quarter. He has to come in and check it and make sure it's operating properly and all. And so I was talking with him one day, and he was telling me where he lived and all. And I'm like, well, that's right around the corner from our church, you know. And he said, yeah, I've been there for so many years and lived there. And he said, you know, I've often thought about going to that church. And he said, but I didn't know what it was. I said, it's an Assembly of God church. And he said, I was raised in Assembly of God church. And he said, my sister is an Assembly of God pastor, or was an Assembly of God pastor. And he says, I know I should come down there to that church. And I said, well, we're there. You know, so the community around us knows we are here. You see, I don't think we are aware of what people know around us about what we're doing here. You know, but God is about to do something. God is on the move here. Amen. Number two, freedom calls us to serve. What that means to me is this. I don't serve to gain points. I serve, number one, because I love serving people. Okay? I love serving people. I love to find a need, and however I can help, I love doing that. I love helping people. But I do it because, number one, I love God. And guess what? God loves people. And I love those people because God first loved me. So I look for opportunities to serve. I remember being at Glad Tidings and working in the kitchen, and every year we would have a harvest fest, which was always a lot of fun, and all the activities that brought the harvest fest. We'd have everybody, every ministry had a booth, and they would set up, and whether it be Wall Rangers or men's ministry, women's ministry. The men's ministry, we always cooked all the food and stuff. But we had a blast. We had an opportunity to serve other ministries. But it used to drive me crazy because I love to serve. And it used to drive me crazy that the church would. It was like people expected people to serve them. Nobody would reach out and want to help. You know? And all. But you know what? I learned that I could not expect everybody to be like I was, because everybody has a gift. One of my gifts is serving, and I love to serve people. But still, we are required by God, it's a commandment, to look for opportunities to serve others. Now, how do we serve others? The Bible says that we love, the first and greatest commandment is to love what? Love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. And it says the second commandment is just as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, all of us have neighbors. And all of our neighbors have needs. We do too. And it's okay to let our neighbor know that we have needs. But we need to be looking for the opportunity to serve our neighbor because of the love of God. Amen? So Philippians 1:6 says this, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ." So we work. Why? We work because God has blessed us. God has blessed us in a relationship with a loving God. We want to serve others. We want to look for opportunities to serve God. We are not in a club here. This is not a lodge. This is a building. This is a church. The body of Christ. Every one of us has a purpose here. And who and what are we serving? We are serving a living, mighty God. You know, in Sunday school we were talking about how that the Apostle Peter was put in jail because he was preaching the gospel. And he was such a threat to his community that Herod had chains and shackled the Apostle Peter to two guards. And then he had guards posted at the door of the cell and in guards at the gate of the prison, because he wanted to make sure that Peter did not escape. So with chains, he shackled these two Roman soldiers to Peter so that he could not escape. He was not going to escape. But you see, Herod failed to recognize the power of God. Because while Peter was asleep, the angel came and woke him up, told him to get up, get dressed, and go. He got up, got dressed. The chains fell off. The guards didn't even know he was walking out. He walked out, walked past all the guards. And he told him to go where they were praying for him. So when he got to that room, the upper room where they were praying for him, Rhoda opened the door and she saw Peter. They were just praying for Peter. You see, if God's message is going to go forward, nothing can get in the way of that message. See, we have a message here at our church. And it's Jesus Christ. And we are going to use whatever opportunities, whatever doors God opens for us to share that message with our community. For we are always, God is the one who we are serving. It's not based on good credit or how many, whatever we do. Number three, freedom calls us to love. John 14, verse 21 says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. God Almighty initiates a love relationship with each and every one of us. He desires that. And our love for him spills over to the point to where we want to share that love relationship with others. So we reach out. Love, God's love, requires an action. As his obedient children, we join him in his activity by loving all peoples. You see, we don't know who God is going to bring here. We don't know who we are going to encounter that God is preparing their heart to receive this message. Our job is to be prepared and to be ready to share that message. How do we prepare? Pastor Mark, Sunday School, is preparing through SALT leadership a team of people to reach the community. Wednesday nights, we are going through experiencing God, learning to prepare for what God is doing in our community. At Outreach Communities Outreach Ministries, Mayfair Apartments, God is opening the door there for us. As soon as they get their clubhouse built, we will be doing a service there. Praise God. Amen. That door has opened for us to be able to reach people who cannot get out and go to church. Now most don't want to go, period. But we're going to be there. And so those who do want to come can come and hear this message. Here, we'll have our services, Lord willing. If God wants us to have our services on a Saturday night, we will do that. But we're going to hear from God first when he wants us to do that. Amen. So if God Almighty is active all around us, we can see him working in our communities. What can you and I do to adjust our lives to join him in his activity? You see, the people that we may see coming through these doors may not look like us. They may not even smell like us, and they certainly won't act like us. But you see, they need God's love, and we need to be ready to share that love, to accept whoever comes in those doors. Amen? And so I want to ask you as a church body, a living, active body that God is doing a work in to join in God's work. You see, I don't know. I want to serve God in His work. I want to know where He's working. And by seeking that relationship with Him, He's going to show me where He's working. He's going to show you where He's working. And so we have to prepare. God has set us free. He's called us to freedom. He's called us to look for opportunities. He's called us to serve one another. And He's called us to serve one another in love. We're not all the same. But one thing for sure, we need to experience God's love. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. That freedom has allowed us to approach the throne of grace because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank You for the work and the activity that You are doing around us. Lord, help us to prepare through preparing by Your Word, Lord, and listening to Your Spirit, the Spirit of truth, so that we can join You in Your activity, Father, where You are working. And Father, I don't know where every person stands here. You know the heart of everyone here. But Father, I pray that if there's someone here that says, you know, I don't even know if I have a relationship with God. But You're saying He initiates a relationship with me. Yes, He does. And we have a choice. We have a decision to make to join Him or to just sit back. Lord, I don't want to set back. I want to be where You are. I want to be where You're working. And so, Father, I pray that if there's anyone here, Lord, that hasn't yet made that decision, Lord, that they would see me afterwards, Lord, to help them, Father, to get in that relationship with You. And Father, we thank You for what You're going to do this week. We give You glory, honor, and praise. For we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.